this world that we are living in at the moment, with the permission of Allah, with Allah's leave, all of this dunya, this world, it relies on a means to get to something, to achieve something. Everything in the world, everything has something that causes it to function. And ourselves as well, we also rely on means to achieve something. But Allah Ta'ala, if He says kun, be, and it occurs. Allah Ta'ala is in control. Allah is all supreme. So everything runs reliant on something else, dependent on something else. And if you don't adopt the means, then you cannot get to the end point. You cannot fulfill your objective. A person, even if he's, for example, begging, he'll use something to do that. If it's raining, then you'll use an umbrella to protect yourself from the rain. If it's cold, then a person will purchase clothes, warm clothes, to protect himself from cold. And if it's hot, a person adopts certain measures to eliminate the heat. And we've done certain things. For example, we have factories, and they say that in the, they make clothes and say that wear these clothes in the winter so you don't get a cold or a flu. So we're using the methods and the means in the world. But how sad that we only utilize objects and items in the world to benefit in the world. But when a person's mind, when it loses reality, the real reality, then when shaitan and nafs overwhelms a person, then his thinking, his focus comes, it diverts. We think that this dunya is the be-all and the end-all. Just save yourself from the hardships in this world. Save yourself from the issues and difficulties in the world, and get all benefit in the world, and all success lies in this world. That's what we think. And our thinking has become narrow. We know everything. We have ilm. We read the Quran. We Allah Ta'ala has told us about the deen. Allah has given us such good days and opportunities. But our minds have been overwhelmed. If we take the percentage out of the people who are living a life like this, like we've just discussed, how many will there be? Allah Ta'ala has mentioned events in the Quran with regards to Jahannam, if we think. Such verses have been revealed about Jahannam. This will happen in Jahannam. There'll be blood and pus will be given to drink to those who are in hell. People in hell will be, they'll be dragged into hell, the people who live in hell, with chains. And who will there be those people? Me and you. Yes, why does rain fall in the world? For me and you. We try to save ourselves. Cold weather comes for me and you. We try to save ourselves from the cold. So this is that human being that he comes to this world for a little while. Allah has sent him. And we've forgotten where we are going. That, for example, if there's a fire in our house, and if a fire breaks out in the world, then the fire engine comes and the sirens blowing, and we try to put the fire out. We're cautious. But what about that fire where very soon people will go to that fire? Do we have any thought with regard to that? We don't want to hear about the hellfire. If someone's speaking about hellfire, we say, oh, what's this? What sort of talk is this? Or what's this discussion? Oh, let's leave here. We're wasting our time, etc. We don't want to hear about Jahannam. Oh, Mawlana Sahib keeps on scaring people and putting us. But Allah Ta'ala has made us understand. Allah's trying to make us afraid. The verse of the Quran, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَافُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala has revealed verses that those people who have the right and clean hearts, they fall unconscious on hearing and listening to these verses and reciting these verses. Allah, what will happen to us if it happens by chance that the weather is good? You come to the masjid, or you go to someone's house, and then you come and suddenly the clouds come and it starts to rain, and you figure, oh, how will I go back home? I came to the masjid, it's now raining hard. How long will this fall for, this rain? I'll get wet. What's happened? Your clothes are going to get wet, aren't they, brother? Okay, go home and dry them. You see, if only we can understand. Allah Ta'ala says that Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam, hellfire. And I'm speaking about reality to myself. But I have no fikr, no worry, concern about being safe from hellfire or to protect myself. That if someone's given us the guidance and the solution, but our iman gives the first lesson, the first sabak of iman, is that it's not going to take long to get there. It may take long. It may take longer for you to blink your eyelid, for your eyelid to go down and come back up. But maut will come quicker than that. Imagine that. In the time it takes for the eyelid to blink, It is longer than if Allah has destined death to you now, then death will not allow your eyelids to close. If the eyelid is not ordered to go down, Allah Ta'ala says, then the eyelid will not go down and death will come, and all the reality of what's mentioned in the Quran will come to life, reality. So let's assess our minds, that what is it we need to be protected from? What do we need to save ourselves from? The fire of Jahannam. Here, if you die getting burnt, if you burn to death, you'll be shaheed. Allah Ta'ala says you'll be shaheed. Allah doesn't say that don't use the means. Use them. But these are the means and methods of this temporary world. But we should utilize more means and methods and efforts to save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam in the hereafter. Brothers, we need to think about this. So, the fire of Jahannam, which is a severe fire, which the fuel of that fire will be stones and men. So how do we save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam? And how do we get to Jahannam in the first place? Sins. Yes? That, for example, the fire of hell is revolving around us. The sins we commit is the fire of hell. We're not even feeling the heat of it, the flames, and the severity of it. Every sin becomes fire of Jahannam. Remember this. Every sin becomes fire of Jahannam. The definition of sin equals fire of Jahannam. Should we not have worry? Is this coming to our minds? Do we understand? That we should be saving ourselves every second from the fire of Jahannam. And to save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam, there's only one solution. That person controls his sins. Controls his sin. Look. That sins, the different types of sins, they are caused by our own selves. Because we don't worry, we're not concerned. So the enemy, he captures our body. He overtakes our body. Yeah, he takes over the control. Yes? So our enemy, which is Shaitan, the devil, he captures our body. And he takes us towards those actions. He makes us stop doing those actions, which will give us the earning of goodness in the hereafter. And he makes us stop doing the good actions. And after controlling us in that same place where we could do actions to get the high levels of Jannah, he makes us manufacture sins. The factory of sins. That's the story of life. Yes? That Allah Ta'ala has given us the body to implement good deeds, to earn rewards. And he says that, look, their minds, their understanding is not good, he's weak. So Shaitan, he influences us, he captures us. Then he makes us like a machine, a factory of sins. That same body that should give us Allah's name is Qurban Jannah. That body starts to do actions that earn the fire of Jahannam. Such words, such actions we do. And there's one action we do from many actions that Shaitan grabs us and makes us do the action so that we commit sins. But Allah Ta'ala has given us a ni'mah that can... Alhamdulillah, every second is an azim ni'mah that Allah has given to us that can make us grow close to Allah. Such a powerful thing that Allah has put inside us. And it has no comparison. No comparison. And especially me and you who are sitting here, the human being, Allah has given this element. Allah has given this item, you could say. Allah has given this resource to human beings. Allah says, forget about all the animals for a second. If Shaitan is trying to influence you, yes? If Shaitan is trying to influence you, and you avoid Shaitan and use this rahmah of Allah, then you are saved. But if Shaitan grabs you, then that item will become the machine of a sin. Rather, it will become the fountain of sin, foundation of sin. You name it, sins will come out from that machine, from that mechanism, and within seconds, from top to toe, that person will lose out on everything. Do you know what is that? It's very important. It's inside us. It's inside us. And what we need to see is that is Shaitan controlling this machine inside us, or are we utilizing this machine and steering this machine that Allah Ta'ala has given to us? What is it? What is it? It is the tongue. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Who has said this? Why have I said this? What is it? What have you used to speak? Yes, your tongue. Can you move your tongue to speak? Yes. Can it speak? No. Subhanallah. So the makhluk, the human beings, Allah Ta'ala has given great raham and mercy. Allah Ta'ala, subhanallah, has made us say subhanallah, that the whole space between the heavens and the earth is full of noor when we say subhanallah. And what do we use to say subhanallah? The tongue. Have we tried that? Did we have to make a lot of effort? No. But what a great machine. The tongue. Allah has given us this organ and we can use it to our benefit. It is a great ni'mah, a great favor, this tongue that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Alhamdulillah. That whoever falls into this thinking that this is a factory of making good deeds, using the tongue properly, now how am I misusing and abusing my tongue? Subhanallah. So, so close that person becomes, every second of that person goes, makes him go closer to Allah, if the tongue is used correctly. Yes? So close, the tongue keeps moving, doing the right thing, and the nur comes to that person into his life, subhanAllah. How much we have wasted the utilization of the tongue. Yes, I feel like reciting the Quran, the tongue moves, subhanAllah, Surah Yasin, Muzammil, Surah Ar-Rahman, the tongue is moving and the whole body is benefiting and benefiting. Is it not? Yes. Okay, yaar, today I won't read Quran myself. I'll hear somebody else's Quran. There was a sahabi reciting the Quran. And he looked at the sky and he saw there was some light and it shined, it was sparkled, and he became a bit afraid. It was coming closer to him. He went to the Holy Prophet and said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that yesterday night I was reciting the Quran. Soon as I stopped, that light would stop. When I started to recite, the light shone, sparkled stronger, and it came closer." And I'm telling you the meaning of the hadith. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, my beloved sahabi, what were you doing?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I wasn't doing anything else. That this kitab that has been revealed upon you, to you, I was reciting this Quran with love and enjoyment and melody." And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is it. That there was so much sincerity in their hearts, there was so much nur on their tongues, that the benefit of the Quran recitation, and he saw that the light was drawing closer and stronger. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that light that you saw, they were all angels, the malaika and the heavens and the skies. And if you continue to read Quran, then people would have seen the angels on the earth and you would have shaken their hands and done musafir them. Subhanallah. What was it that was reciting at that time? His tongue. Have you ever paid attention to the tongue? How great an organ it is. When shaitan captures the tongue, controls the tongue, he says, "Oh, this man's lazy and ghafil." When the machine goes to the shaitan, then Allah forgive. Such sins are committed. Backbiting, gossip mongering, scare mongering, and immodest actions, and music and singing, and anger, the tongue is waggling, swearing with the tongue, happiness, and saying nonsense, speaking rubbish from the tongue. To this extent that even in times of celebration or sadness, such dirty words come out from our tongues, people utter them, that we should be shocked. Mother, sister, they're sitting like machines, they're talking immodest and impure discussion. This is how shaitan has captured this great ni'mat of the tongue. Now forget about earning from the right use of the tongue, but the fire of Jahannam is being manufactured due to the use of our tongues. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right or am I wrong? What does shaitan do? For example, he makes us angry, and he says, "I'm not happy with that anger. No, I'm not angry." Then he starts making people fight. He says, "I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied." And he's not happy until that tongue, the anger doesn't link to the tongue. Dirty words, swear words, and people give divorces to their wives, and houses are destroyed, families are destroyed, and enmity comes between friends, and enmity comes between mother and sons, and blood relations. Blood relatives, they're standing in front of each other, swearing at each other, scolding each other. What is it? That same tongue. That if you say one subhanallah, then that person becomes nur ala nur. He has light upon light. Look at the difference. Massive difference. Is this not the case? So should we not control this tongue? Shouldn't we? We should control our tongues, isn't it? That's what it's all about. So if we understand now that to be saved from Jahannam, there's a machine. What is that machine? The tongue. And the tongue, what do we need to do with the tongue? We need to utilize the means, the methods to control the tongue. How do we control our tongue? How shall I use it in the right way? Yes, so just like we use things in the world to achieve an end, so Allah says that we should take guidance. Don't swear with the tongue. Praise Allah. The dhikr of Allah should be done from the tongue. Look, the same tongue, that we need to make this tongue free from the enemy. It was shaitan. He has grabbed our tongue and he's made it a factory of sin. And our words that we discuss, and he makes padlocks onto our lives. That isn't this a padlock on the tongue, that we cannot recite the name of Allah, but we can swear others? I've seen such people that they swear so much as if he's drinking juice at that time, and he's laughing at the same time, swearing like, oh, get ajte, then swears, then he says, then he does again, then swear again, then he did this, then I did this, then he swears again. That is this in nature? He's angry, he's happy, and he's proud of something, he's speaking against somebody. Doesn't this happen? The feelings do come, emotions come. There's no doubt. And a person wants to express his feelings. Express his feelings. So how do we do all of this, but in a correct way, my friends? What is the solution that we use? Will you tell me, or shall I tell you? You are, mashallah, people of great understanding, and I have to tell you everything? I have to explain everything? Today, let's promise the solution that I advise you, you will practice one. Inshallah, we'll have to utilize this means. So the first thing is that when a person uses something, it's different. When you start using something for the first time, it's difficult. But Allah's rahmah is there, mercy is there. That for example, we are hard wood. And to come back to the right level, obviously, it's a bit rigid and there's firmness. And obviously, if we're, for example, surrounded by fire, the sabak I'll give to you in the beginning, we'll forget, then remember. But we shouldn't leave that action. Then Allah Ta'ala says that very quickly, I'll make this a habit of yours in your life. But if you think, no, I can't do this, how is it going to work for me, how will I benefit? Because we are surrounded by difficult scenarios and situations. But if we get the sabab, the means, the method, keep on adopting it, keep on practicing it, keep on following it, inshallah, in a few days, short time to come, Allah will make this our habit. Because this is the natural, habit of man, that shaitan has made us lose the natural actions. What means should we use? What method should we use so that our tongue stops speaking nonsense, doesn't backbite, lie, commit fraud, or swear, and dirty things should not be said, impure things should not be said from our tongues? Brothers, we'll get the whole deen, subhanAllah, wallahi, we'll get the whole deen if we cure and implement the solution for misuse of the tongue. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. So there's one cure for the abuse of the tongue and misusing the tongue. There's no other cure. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. We cannot get guidance from anywhere else. Allah said that you will not, if you want a cure or a fix for anything, come to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because I made him an example for all of creation. Namuna, example. And the example, the demonstration, is that there's nothing that he did or said that does not, if you copy it, that will not deliver you to Jannah or take you out of Jahannam. Nothing he did, you don't need to know the law or principle or constitution or analysis or investigation. No, Allah says, I made it for you and sent it to you. The whole Quran was in his life, and you will see everything in his personal life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to describe it, to explain it, to mention it, such muhaddithin, Allah says, I will send. Such ulama, ikram, respectful scholars, that you don't even need to go to the kitabs. You can sit next to them and they will teach you everything you need to know, subhanAllah. So today, for example, we are in a fast-paced life. Who reads books? Previous times, books were published. They said, oh, I read this kitab, other people publish. Someone said, Hazrat, why don't you publish a book? Who sits down and reads books today? It's difficult, isn't it? Today, there's so many things that we made. A person's walking, talking, watches everything, hears, puts in his ears. And as the world is advancing, then a person, the life and this lifestyle is very hectic and fast, fast-paced. So today's generation, where should we get nisiyah from? Sit down, listen to someone's tafsir for hours, listen to Quran, hadith. Very few people today have the passion to go, there's a darsul hadith, and they sit down, listen. If there's a singing and songs and mefil, everyone will fill up the place. Okay, Naat Khan is good. Masjid will fill up. If there's a bit of nasheeds and naats and the old masjid, top bottom, women will request, are you not calling us, make a hall for us? But when we say there's darsul hadith, then 10 people will be sitting there. 10 people. Darsul Quran, 5 people will come. Mulana sahab, then he has to stop giving darsul Quran because nobody wants to listen. But everyone wants to run to nasheeds. So when this desire comes, Allah Ta'ala says, I've prepared for this. I haven't left you empty-handed, Allah Ta'ala says. Yes? So all you have to do is, if you can't do anything else, and if you can't do anything to learn, then at least sit with someone who is capable, good, he has Quran in his heart, and hadith, and the nur of Allah, he's honest. Sit with him, and those characteristics will come into your life, transfer to your life. Is there anything more simpler than this? Okay, well, we have to go every day. Allah says, okay, don't go every day. If you can't. Once a week, Allah says, okay, don't go once a week. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, one moment in the company of the awliya Allah. This is saying that if you sit in the wali of Allah's company for one moment, then Allah says, with my rahmah, I will give you whatever you require. Success. We can't even do this. We say, oh, he's a wali Allah, he's pious. Why do you say this and that? Okay, let me get a ta'weez from him. Let me get a ta'weez from my shop. Oh, let's do get dua from him. We'll have our focus on the dunya. From hundreds of thousands, there's one person, he says, there's a wali Allah there. He'll wrap his blanket around him and say, oh, I love it. And he's living here, the wali Allah in this vicinity. Let's go and learn from him how to say Allah, Allah, ha ha. This is the benefit. Because from the walis of Allah, you get Allah's nearness. What else do you get? Yes, whoever has this desire and passion in this day and age, that for the name of Allah, for the name of Allah, that I have to walk maybe through the streets, from this street to that street, he's walking from there to there, just 10 footsteps. Allah says, I love the action, and I will include you amongst the walis of Allah, because we are living in that age of drought, severe drought. And those who travel from far, oh, zikr is happening there, then Allahu Akbar, they are very big beloveds of Allah. Allah has kept them in parda. So much love that in this fast paced world today, just for the dhikr of Allah, for Allah's name, they are traveling from somewhere far. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Say it from Iman, from the depths of Iman. This is Allah's fadl, you have come. Even there are people who live closer than you to here. Say, oh, forget going today. Let's do something else. And they don't come. This is that majlis, is it? Where Allah's name is being mentioned. Tell me, we are in the drought age. Only this many people are, and people are immersed in problems, difficulties, worries, distresses. All the issues today are in our families. People's homes are destroyed, family problems, fikr, worries, distresses. They've got money. But they lie down on bed, a big mattress at night. But they're tossing and turning, they can't sleep. A lot of money, gets up. What time is it? I've got to go to the office. Don't know why I don't feel sleepy today. I've heard this very regularly. Hazrat, I don't know what's happened to my sleep. I don't feel like I need to sleep at the moment. I don't know what's happened. I can't understand. I'll go to the doctor tomorrow morning. But why can't I go to sleep in the night? Why don't I feel sleepy? Tell him, if you're not feeling sleepy, stand up, do wudu and pray tahajjud. Subhanallah. Maybe Allah Ta'ala wants to make your kismet and destiny, but our minds don't go that way, do they? No, we don't want to get up. So what a great mercy of Allah. What a great favor of Allah that a person in today's day and age, in this day and age, he goes to do the ziyarah of the wali Allah, thinking this, that I can't work hard too much. So one moment at least, one moment, if a human being sits in the company of the wali of Allah, yet the statement, Hazrat Mulana Rumi rahmatullahi wasn't some minor individual. Yes, his mathnawi, the mathnawi of Mulana Rumi rahmatullahi, great scholars wrote tafsir commentary on this, gave darus on mathnawi sharif. The kitab that Hazrat Mulana Rumi, I have that kitab, it's a unique kitab, and I got the kitab, it's 8 volumes, and such fat volumes. And I read it. It's been 40 years I've been reading. I cannot complete this kitab. 8 volumes, fat volumes, each one. So in depth and great a kitab is Mathnawi Sharif. It's not a small thing. And this couplet, this statement of Hazrat Rumi Sahib Rahmatullah is so significant for us. The person, he does ibadah for many years, but that action is greater than even that 60, 70 years of ibadah. What is it? Because 100 years of ibadah, you cannot get from 100 years of ibadah, what you'll get from 1 second of the company of the wali. And what is that? That is ikhlas, sincerity. Sincerity. Yes, because when you do ibadah, even for 100 years, you cannot earn ikhlas. But when you have the company of the wali Allah, you'll become a proper scholar, alim, walwi, everything. You, when you graduate from the company of the wali of Allah, you'll have that effect, impact, because there's so much purity in the company of the wali of Allah. He's so pure, he's become, when he remembers Allah, that when anyone else sits with him, he also is purified. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And that's why it's stated, one moment in the company of the wali Allah is greater than 100 years of worship. Because ikhlas comes into the student. Yes, his fake actions are eliminated. He doesn't seek anyone's praise or recognition or money. He becomes Allah's and Allah becomes his. Allah says, you love me and I love you. Subhanallah. So he becomes an ajeeb human being, that person. Unique human being. So this is, that brothers, the tongue, we need to control it. And to control the tongue very good cure that we are about to listen to. And as I said, that we will go to the court of Rasulullah and learn the answer. What is the answer? Small hadith, that it was a blessed habit of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha narrates this hadith. She narrated that in this hadith, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed habit, which we call sunnah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would only speak from his tongue those words that would give thawab, say subhanallah, subhanallah. And this is the cure solution to Jahannam. This will make the fire of Jahannam extinguished. Cool. This, if you do amal on this hadith, you will extinguish the fire of Jahannam from around. If we promise today that we will only speak those words from the tongue that will earn thawab, reward. That's it. Not difficult. If we don't have this habit, when a person is put into jail, when he goes into jail the first day, he's afraid. Oh, I'm not going to pass time here. I'm afraid. But when time passes, then he doesn't want to come. He says, oh, no, let's go back to jail. Good food, sitting, having a chit-chat, playing. He starts to like jail. He doesn't want to leave. So this solution, because we're in a jail at this moment in time, and we are in the hands of shaitan, that this looks very difficult for us. The thawab will come from my tongues. What will I do when I'm angry? And other times, that Rasulullah knew everything. He knew there was anger, there was laughter, and sitting with the holy, with the Prophet's wives and joking, and having a good time with the Sahaba Ikram. He was an example to everybody. Otherwise, how would he become an example? Because Allah has given us the total, complete way of life. So Rasulullah, he implemented everything that's goodness in the world, and he implemented that, and more than 100,000 Sahaba, they practiced the Sunnah of Rasulullah and had Nur ala Nur, and their bodies, subhanAllah, and their lives was to record the deen of Rasulullah. It couldn't be the Hazrat Abu Huraira, rather than how many hadith he recorded, and subhanAllah, he protected those hadith, he preserved them, and today those same hadith are present in front of us today. Today, so only that person can do this when Allah Ta'ala allow such a person to be enabled, because Allah says he's an example. And those Muslims until that time who come to Bolton will be 1,000 miles further away, and they will have the same enjoyment when they hear the name of Rasulullah, just like the people before them had the enjoyment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So the Holy Prophet's blessed habit, hadith Mubarak says that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would speak, then he would only speak when he knew this thawab in what he's saying. Allah, what a beautiful solution. End of sins. When you get angry, every action, there is a solution to anger. There's a solution. There's something in comparison to happiness and anger. Even love, how you have to love the children, how you love your mother. Everything, it comes from the tongue, the expression. But there are kalamat that we need to utilize. If you're angry, then recite the kalamat to suppress the anger. SubhanAllah. Those same kalamas which is dhikr, we recite them from our tongues, from our mouths. You get angry, then you don't start swearing at the person. No, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. You hear something good, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. If someone gets angry on somebody else, then recite the kalama, we talk about dhikr, influence that person. That make Allah Ta'ala's name very, very firm on our tongues, and nothing else. On every sentence we could mention the name of Allah, and there can be no greater name than that. That is, Allah Ta'ala says, whenever you see anything, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, whatever Allah Ta'ala has created, manufactured, in happiness, in sadness, every moment, even in neutral, Allah has given a neutral kalama to us, SubhanAllah. Benefit from it. Tell me, isn't this the case? That Allahu is such a kalama, you can recite this everywhere, SubhanAllah. It's a neutral kalama Allah has given to us. Neutral. Allah wants to see, for example, look how beautiful it seems to you, forgotten, that just make one word that you memorize, Allahu Akbar, Allah, you have made such great human beings. And when you get angry, say Allahu Akbar, Allah, you are greater. Why am I angry? You are the greatest. That please cool down my anger. This cannot be. I cannot give account for this. So Allah says, one kalama, remember, recite. Doesn't matter what emotion you're going through. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Keep reciting. Allahu Akbar. Did it take long to make this habit? Or to recite this? No. So make a true promise to yourselves that whatever test comes to you, whatever you do from your body, shaitan will run off, because he's the one who manufactures and runs the machine. He's the operator. Oh, you're angry, say this. Oh, you're angry, swear at this person. Or, for example, today in this day and age, our sober, our company is not that wherever we've come, then mashallah, what can we ask? There's such kalamats that we recite, but then when in happiness or in grief, what we say, and thus become happy for us, and the children say the same thing at home. Isn't this the case? Yes. So what we need to do is that we need to recite these kalamats in front of those people, make their minds, make our own minds. So if we don't do this, how will we help others? Happiness will come, sadness will come. Keep one kalama, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And your style will change, Allahu Akbar. Look, yes, so Allah Ta'ala says that whether you're happy or sad, or you're in anger, enraged, or you are trying to get to that solution, but Allah says there will be so much benefit from reciting this kalama. Imagine the level a person will get from saying Allahu Akbar. From morning till evening, how many times will we say Allahu Akbar? If we implement this, so brothers, will you practice this? If we don't control this tongue, then remember, until the evening, from morning till evening, your actions will make the fire so big and on a big scale, and no amal will extinguish that sin. Only one method will extinguish that sin, that fire, and that is by burning in the fire of Jahannam after death. And one other thing we should also remember, that we also do amal, deeds. You're doing amal, you see, that the phone, for example, people outside will be fighting on the phones, lying, swearing, some will be angry, someone else, what's happening here? Allah Ta'ala is making us do amal, giving us the tawfiq to pray, salah, do everything, but we haven't controlled our tongues. So what do we say? No, I'm proud, I've prayed so many salahs, and I recite Quran, and shaitan's made us weak, thinking that that's enough. But remember, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tubtulu, Allah says, that your amal can also be wasted. Allah says, eliminated your amal, your deeds, they can be wasted due to sins. So be careful about this, that we shouldn't be proud of our good actions. That's it. We should keep trying, don't commit the sins. If we commit sins, then that will burn away our deeds. We'll be looking, where's my salah, my sujood, my prostration, and this and that. They'll be suppressed beneath the earth, and they'll be suppressed in the fire of Jahannam. But Allah's karam and mercy, with the same tongue, when you control the tongue, then what does Allah Ta'ala say? Allah says what? Allahu Akbar. That all of the sins that are attached to you and you're implementing in your life, whatever there is around you, Allah says, I will change them into good deeds. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a big difference. Yes, either our amal are being diminished, we're wasting them, or if we start saying good words and we use the tongue correctly, positively, then the sins will be transformed to good deeds, Allah said. And here a great point of love comes out here. Allah says, I will turn or transform your sins to good deeds. So the worst thing with regards to sins, and it becomes hellfire. When we do a good deed, we utilize our tongue correctly, Allah loves the action so much that dirty, impure thing, which is so impure, Allah says, leave it. Now myself, I'll take the responsibility to replace it with goodness and make you pious. And if Allah Ta'ala makes a deed pious and good and upright, Allah says that let this action become a good action, then imagine the status of that person when he implements it. After that, can it be that the amal we're doing ourselves, and one Allah himself is making that person do a good amal? So imagine, can there be a comparison? No, they can't. So big statement, big point here. And how much time we are wasting in our lives at the moment. This tongue is not mine, my hands are not mine, the fingers not mine, my eyes are not mine. These will testify on the day of judgment against me. They're not mine. Allah's given them as a witness. Whoever's wealth it is, hand it back to him, to Allah. This is not ours. That's it. So assign everything, everything the ni'mah Allah has given to Allah. So brothers, we shouldn't misuse the ni'mah Allah has given to us. Yes, and I spoke about the tongue. Inshallah, we'll speak again on other things. So what should we do with regards to our tongues? We should do so much dhikr and kathira that on our tongues, we just keep repeating the dhikr of Allah and nothing else. Okay? Yes, this is the barakah of dhikr, isn't it? Little bit of word and straight away you say, Subhanallah, isn't it? Big barakah of this majlis. What a good thing, what a good reaction. So this is the habit we should make, to utilize the tongue clearly, just like you do now. Do it wherever you are, outside, etc. And you don't need to say anything else. You don't need to swear at 10-1 or backbite. Just say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Hawla wala Quwwata illa Billah. Such beautiful kalamats that our action will be fulfilled and we'll get the rewards at the same time. We'll fulfill the action we want to, and it will be shown invisible, and Allah's rahmah will also come. Allah's mercy. So this is the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every sunnah we embrace and we practice on it, even if we have to give our wealth and our energy away. Yes, that, for example, look at our faces. If our faces are not correct, how will our heart be correct? I say people get upset. If our face is not correct, then how will his heart be made? On top, he's rejecting. Who's he rejecting? Who am I challenging when I cut my beard? Allah? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That Allah, I believe in you, I prostrate to you, but I don't believe in your Habib, I don't follow your Habib. We say this. So will he be successful from La ilaha illallah? Can you be successful from La ilaha? Keep saying, La ilaha illallah Musa Rasulullah. Can you pass on the Day of Judgment? No. Or if everyone says, La ilaha illallah Isa Rasulullah, will you pass? No. Isa is Rasul. Musa is Rasul. Take any Nabi's name here. The beloved Nabi's, will you pass? No. If we want to pass them, we will have to say, Muhammad Rasulullah. Subhanallah. So who are we prostrating to? Yet we are rejectors, renegades. We are renegades, rejectors. After doing sajda, we say, Allah, I'll prostrate to you. Then the same point comes. If I say further, the next point, I try to speak straight. What did shaitan say? This is shaitan's ibadah that we're doing. Shaitan's ibadah. That I'll prostrate to you, Allah, but I will not submit to the Nabi. Didn't shaitan say this? So for this reason, with shaitan, what did he do? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to him that, look, you are my Nabi, my Prophet, and I am telling you, I'm instructing you. Allah ta'ala says, this is my Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'm telling you, I'm instructing you. Now imitate him, just do whatever he says, subhanallah. We say, no, I'm not going to imitate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I'll prostrate to you, Allah. I'll pray your salah, I will do tawaf around the Kaaba, ya Allah. Isn't this the case, my brothers? I'll do tawaf, Allah. I will pray salah to you, Allah. I'll come to Fajr. I'll pray 5 times a day salah. But I won't speak about your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't want to be known like this or associated with this. Do tawbah tonight, my friends. This is a night of tawbah. Tawbah. Correct your faces and appearances. Otherwise, you'll be written as the renegade, rebel. All 4 imams are muttafaq alayhi, confirmed, agreed that the person who doesn't keep the beard is a very big loss. He has a very big loss. Yeah, and don't keep the beard according to your desire. You have to keep the beard the way that Rasulullah has told us. One fistful. Minimum. When you make the niyyah intention for minimum 1 fist length of a beard, make the niyyah even if it takes a year to grow. While you're sat here, your beard is shaven, you say, Allah, do tawbah, I will keep a fist length of a beard. You go outside and you pass away, then what will happen? You didn't shave the beard after tawbah, you will be included in the group of people who kept the beard. So brothers, do you make niyyah for this? Inshallah. Inshallah. Otherwise we are baggies. We are rebels. Rebels. We've run away. And today we'll be rebels, and on the Day of Judgment you'll be stood, and I'll be stood. I'll say, Allah, I gave the message to him. Don't commit this sin. It's a severe sin. This is a great kitab that we are shunning, that we cannot imagine. How will we get shifat? Cure. Tell me. How will we drink water at the pond of Kawthar? How will we cross the bridge of Sirat? How? If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be looking for people, but we won't be allowed to go close to him so that he can find us. So if in the world we are running away from him, then what will be our darjat? There, subhanallah. So this is such a big sin that it remains a sin with a person not keeping the bed. It's a continuous sin, not having a bed. Always, a person sinning. Person who does zina, he is a sinner at the time of... If you lie, you're a sinner at the time of lying. But this sin is all the time on salah, on umrah, whatever you're doing, this sin is attached to you. So let's do tawbah from this sin. It's a very big sin. And if we don't keep the beard, fist length, any beard less than a fist length, it's not a beard. This can be called fashion, X, Y, Z, whatever, but it's not a beard. Will we do this, brothers? So 2 things. One is to control the tongue. And secondly, the second sabak of today is that take yourself out of being a rebel. And that Allah, I want to change myself, improve myself. I don't want to be a baghi. Rather, I want to be a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Will we do this, brothers? Inshallah. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وأصلنا وجدنا وخطأنا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا
اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم صمتنا للإيمان وأمتنا للإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا داعي البلايات اتبع بلاياتنا يا داعي البلايات اتبع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في قلبي لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ربهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ربهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ربهما كما ربياني صغيرا یا اللہ جن جن حضرات نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا میرے مولا ان کے حق میں دعاؤں کو قبول فرما بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما پریشان حالوں کو پریشانی کو دور فرما یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں سکون نصیب فرما عافیت نصیب فرما آشودگی نصیب فرما یا اللہ تمام بلائیوں کو مصیبتوں کو ہمارے دلوں سے دور فرما یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں میرے مولا بیماریوں کو دور فرما یا اللہ مصیبتوں کو دور فرما پریشانی کو دور فرما یا اللہ ہمارے رزق میں برکت نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے رزق میں برکت نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں دین پہ چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ نبی پاک کی سنتوں پہ چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما میرے مولا جو اپنے فضل و کرم سے آج تمہیں ہمیں نصیب پہنچائیں میرے مولا ان پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ و صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین